It's 12:06. Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. Welcome to those of you listening to us online. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another great live session for you today, and this one kind of came about in a special way. My guest in the JPR studios is Lindy Ortega. Welcome, Lindy.
Hello.
So this came about in an odd way because originally when we had been talking with folks at your record label, the West Coast tour was going to have you coming right on by JPR with a quick stop to say hello and play a couple of tunes. And then all of the plans kind of got changed around. So you ended up flying down here this morning from Portland.
Yeah.
Just to visit with us.
Super early in a propeller plane. Didn't know if we were going to make it.
Right. There was a false landing because of
a false landing. My first.
Medford
it was terrifying.
You are originally from Toronto, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And live there most of your life?
Yep, most of my life.
I find it really interesting that your household growing up was of a really interesting mixed ethnicity. Your dad is of Mexican descent with an Irish mother.
Yes.
That must have been kind of an interesting clash of cultural influences.
It was. It's very nice, actually. I'm a big fan of both Mexican and Irish culture. I've been to both countries, and I find that both play a subtle influence in my music.
Yeah. And true, your dad was a musician, played in a Latin music band?
He was a bass player for a few years while I was growing up.
What kind of music was he doing?
Well, it was Latino, like top 40, I guess, music. And then he did, they would have various like female Latina artists come out and sing for them. So I would see some of their sound checks and be kind of mesmerized by what was going on stage. And I think that's what first put the bug in my ear to want to, you know, do this myself.
Yeah. Did you ever do any sitting in, or were you still too young at the time?
I was too young, but we had lots of equipment in our basement because my dad was kind of the band leader, so I'd always go down and tinker with it when I was a kid.
What was the first instrument? Was it guitar? Or?
Yeah, we had a classical guitar on the wall that my dad had bought for my mom, and she wasn't really interested in learning, so we just kind of hung it on the wall. And I think the fact that it was hanging there on the wall was what made it, like, it was almost like it was a piece of art or something, and I was bewitched by it, so I had to play it. And I asked my dad to teach me 2 chords, and then I learned the third on my own, and then I started writing songs.
Where did your intense interest and proclivity for old-time country music come from? Was that something that was being listened to at home?
Mm-hmm, that would be my mom. She was a big fan of Kris Kristofferson and Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash when I was growing up. And I remember watching the Dolly Show with her, actually, when I was a kid. And yeah, it was just her love for that planted a seed in my mind with the music. And then I found that the older I got, the more romanced by it I was.
It's Lindy Ortega, my guest, live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and also online at ijpr.org. It's about 9 minutes after 12 o'clock. We are literally 2 minutes away from 12:12, 12:12, 12:12. That sort of fascinating
time. I have to
make
a wish.
And Don Matthews is helping me in the other studio running sound today. Don, I actually think we're going to start with a track from a little EP that Lindy released about a year ago, because we've got a little audio thing going on in the room that we need to identify and work out before Lindy plays live. This was a 2011 release, a little 4-song EP that was a link put up on your website that has a couple of original Christmas songs. Where was the motivation to do that?
First of all, it's Kentucky Thunder, Ricky Skaggs' band, that actually played
me
on that, which was pretty cool to have a cool bluegrass band. And yeah, it just kind of felt like writing some country songs. I mean, I really did want a cowboy for Christmas, so
did
I thought I'd write a song about it.
Did you get one?
I think so.
All right, let's start with a tune from, what's it called, Tennessee Christmas?
Yes.
Let's start with a track from Tennessee Christmas. What's the tune?
All I Want for Christmas is a Cowboy.
It's Lindy Ortega on Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming live at ijpr.org, a track from Tennessee Christmas, little EP. Lindy, is that one still available?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. The new album is called Cigarettes and Truck Stops. We will talk about that in just a bit. I think, you know, we first encountered your music about a year and a half or so, 2 years ago, with Little Red Boots, which you're not wearing today. Do you still wear them? Still have them?
I wear them on stage every single night. Yeah.
Are they beat or
yeah.
are they hanging
well,
in there?
No, they're doing all right, actually. They're not too bad.
Right.
It's my second pair.
many of your songs, lyrically, a little dark, sort of set in a lighthearted you know, musical setting, but lyrically they're a little dark, self-medication, loss, longing. Where do those stories come from?
My experiences in life.
Really?
Yeah, 90% of them do, except for the one about murdering somebody and burying them in the backyard. I did not do that, in case anybody wants to call the FBI.
Is it cathartic for you to sort of put your own experiences into song?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's just, it's how I've always done it. It's not something I really consciously think about all that much, but, ever since I was a kid and I was writing songs, you know, 15 years old, it always came from my experiences. The first song I ever wrote was about how I didn't get to go to prom. Mm. Yeah.
But there would be people lining up at this point.
Well, maybe there'll be an adult prom that I could go to.
Yeah, and 2009, so Little Red Boots comes out, and I was amazed to learn that your first album came out way back in 2001, right?
Yeah, that was a self-release, so I wasn't on a label at that point, and I just sort of put it out myself and sold it off the stage.
And it was a little cabaret-like?
Yeah, it was
Piaf
kind
type
of
stuff?
Yeah, kind of vaudeville cabaret. I just taught myself how to play piano, so I was all excited about that and thought I would do a cabaret record.
Do you still do any of those songs?
No, not really.
Just kind of moved on.
Kind of moved on, yeah.
And early on, in between the self-released early albums and where we are now, from what I've read, you had a bit of a bumpy ride for a while in the music industry. You had a record deal finally in the States, which is good news. And then things started to change a little bit. There was another label mate of yours that kind of had a big success, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah. And the focus kind of changed. The record label kind of changed a little bit. And
yeah.
Where did you end up? What happened to you?
Yeah, the label did change. It became a label that at one point had a lot of eclectic acts. And then I saw a lot of those eclectic acts kind of fall by the wayside, and they were signing more dance pop kind of acts. And my music didn't seem to make sense anymore with them. So I fell by the wayside. And I guess at that point I could have called it quits, but I guess I just love music too much and I'm a bit stubborn. So you know, the idea came about from my manager to sign to his label, Last Gang Records. And he proposed the idea of not having a middleman and being able to contact him directly with any concerns. And that seemed very good to me. I liked that idea. So I signed to his label, and it's been great. Everything's been awesome ever since.
What do you think Lindy Ortega 2012 would sound like if that whole deal had worked out? Pretty similar or
different? I don't want to know. Yeah, I think it was a blessing in disguise that it didn't work out. I'm happy that, you know, I'm on a label now that allows me to do the kind of music I've always wanted to do. They don't prescribe anything. And yeah, I'm not sure what would have happened if things did work out, but I'm just glad it didn't.
Cigarettes and Truck Stops is the new album from Lindy Ortega, my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. What are you going to play for us?
I'll play you the title track off my record, Cigarettes and Truck Stops. I'm gonna board this Greyhound and ride it. Cigarettes and truck stops remind me of you when I pass them by. And my mom always told me, hold on to the good things that you find. So I guess California.
you underneath a painted sky. We were traveling like gypsies, singing to each other.
It's Lindy Ortega live on open air here on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service, streaming at ijpr.org, the title track from the new album called Cigarettes and Truck Stops. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You have been on tour over the last couple of years with an unbelievably eclectic list of people.
Yes.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
How did that come about, and what was he doing at the time?
Yeah, it was. He was touring with the Modern West. He had a 2-week run, and I somehow managed to get my booking agent at the time managed to get me on the tour, and it was pretty surreal touring with a Hollywood star like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your music fit well with what he was doing at the time?
Yeah, the Midwest was actually a really great market for me, I thought, and they were wonderful crowds. Every night people were hooting and hollering and whistling, and that's my kind of crowd. I love when people do things like that.
Well, and speaking of your music fitting, at least at first blush, I wouldn't think that your music would be a great fit for being out on tour with Brandon Flowers of the Killers.
Well, I wasn't on tour with them. I wasn't opening or anything. I was singing backup for him, so that was a completely different stint altogether.
And that was probably a completely different world what you were used to.
Yes, and it was at a time when the label deal fell through, and my hands were kind of tied because to get out of deals like that, there's a lot of legalities, and there wasn't really much I could do for myself musically, so I took that opportunity and thought I would use it as a learning experience.
And in the last year, Social Distortion.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're looking at the world of music and you sort of start with punk, and you go all the way around the horn past old traditional country, and maybe you get all the way over to rockabilly, there starts to be some connection?
Yeah, well, Mike Ness is a huge country fan. He loves Johnny Cash, and before his shows, if people have ever been to Social D shows, they're always playing like old country classics, you know, right before he goes on. So I don't think the connection is that crazy. you know, I finished my set every night with Folsom Prison. He finished his set every night with Ring of Fire.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I think they could see, the audience could see the connection. And of course, we like played more of the rollicking, upbeat, you know, barn burner songs, and it seemed to really go really well. So it was one of the best tours that I've ever done, and which is why I went out twice with them.
Hmm. And considering that your music is, I guess, loosely country or country western,
right?
Country-ish. It doesn't seem to fit in the sort of country music establishment that is now such a huge force in music.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's definitely not new country. It's not that kind of poppy thing going on, but. Yeah, there's a bit of everything. I mean, I think this new record has a little undertone of blues going on because I was listening to a lot of blues before I recorded it. So there's a little bit of that. I'm a big fan of soul as well, so I think sometimes that creeps into my music as well. So yeah, and the old-timey country, which I love, and the outlaw country that I love. So it's an amalgamation of all those influences.
Yeah, and speaking of the outlaw guys, you know, it was for decades, it was sort of the ultimate final place to get is if you could play the Grand Ole Opry. And it took a while for those sort of outlaws to get, you know, to get permission to play
there.
Yeah,
then they got to play and then they got kicked out.
Is that still the kind of thing that you would aspire to do?
You know, the only like, yeah, because of the history, maybe it would be really cool to be able to play the Opry because of, you know, the legends that have played, you know, in the for historical sake. But it's, yeah, I mean, I'm just grateful to be in Nashville and absorb the history of the, you know, the city itself. And it's a really wonderful place to be making music.
Yeah. And you mentioned Nashville. So Toronto, most of your life, but a recent transplant to Nashville. Is that city really as good as it's sort of made out to be as a place for, you know, musicians to make a living, make a home?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I find it very inspiring. I went in sort of with the misconception that it was all the sort of new country, sort of machine, you know, pop generated stuff that was happening. But in East Nashville, there's a really cool hotbed for interesting, original, unique music that's going on. And I'm always inspired every time I go out and see live music in Nashville.
It doesn't sound like you have much time to go out and see much.
Well,
music.
Whenever I get time in between these crazy tours that I do.
Speaking of Nashville, new hit ABC show called Nashville, Hayden Panettiere starring in that. And a lot of musicians that have visited us and that we play on Jefferson Public Radio have had songs picked up by shows over the years, things like Grey's Anatomy or whatever. Not only have you had songs picked up and used on Nashville, but you've actually been on the show as a little cameo and also talked about on the show as one of the reasons why the characters don't get gigs is because you're there.
That was hilarious to me. It was great that I was able to have the opportunity to have the cameo in the show, and they allowed me to be myself, and they actually mentioned me, which is, I don't think that happens too often in television. So it was great. They used, you know, not one but three of my songs, and they've been very supportive for me and my music, and it's been a great help to get my name out there.
Any chance that that's going to become a recurring thing from time to time, or do you know? Or
who
are
knows?
You not
I mean,
not
this
at
is actually the
say.
Second time I've played myself in some sort of a... you know, film sort of setting. I played myself in a German film as well, starring Mads Mikkelsen over in Berlin. So, and I played myself in a lounge scene. So I like when I get to play myself because I think I'm pretty good at acting myself. So maybe I'll get more roles as myself.
Lydia Ortega is my guest live today on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service. The new album is called Cigarettes and Truck Stops. I want to ask you one other thing. There was, I don't know if you're still as involved with this as before, but tell me about the World Parrot Refuge.
Yeah, I did a benefit for them. I actually owned a parrot at one point in my life.
What was his name?
His name was Skippy. Actually, his full name was Skippy Peanut Butter. And he was a lovely little bird, and it just really prompted me to learn more about the species. And in doing sort of research about parrots, I learned about the bird trade, the exotic bird trade, and I learned about their plight. And I ended up coming across this place called the World Parrot Refuge in Coombs, BC, in Canada. And you know, I just discovered some things about birds and about exotic birds in general, the fact that they live so long, and a lot of them outlive their owners, and then they don't have homes. Mm. And, you know, it's a lot of work taking care of a large parrot, even the small ones that live a long time, too. You know, it's like people just kind of think they can leave them in cages and that they don't need let out, and they don't. But they need a lot of attention, and they need a lot of time, and they live a very long time. They're a huge commitment, and people just keep buying them. And they keep, you know, they deplete their species out in the wild. And I think any true bird lover out there, and this is one thing that's very important for me that I want to say, any true bird lover out there who loves parrots, loves birds, would be happiest to see them out in the wild with their flocks, because that's where they belong. They don't belong in cages and prisons in our house.
So do you still work with that organization?
I haven't been able to because I'm over in the States now, so it's been a little bit more difficult. But I always said if I ever got a big paycheck for anything that I've done, so, musically, I would love to help donate some more of my money and my time to them.
It's Lindy Ortega, live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Cigarettes and Truck Stops. What are you going to go out with?
I'm going to go out with a Hank Williams tune called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
It's Lindy Ortega live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album called Cigarettes and Truck Stops. Plan to do some of those covers on a future record?
Yeah, I'd love to do a covers record. I love a lot of those old-timey country tunes, so it'd be awesome if I could get to do something like that someday.
Thank you so much for coming down and visiting
with
us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.